And yesterday we heard the amazing singing of Shiva Rath. Shiva is a... You can see actually for everything there is a need of sadhana. A person like Shiva, one can sing like that after many, many years of sadhana. It is not just once in a while we just sing a bhajan. No consideration of the tune, no consideration of the beat, no consideration of even our voice. Satyajit Roy, the famous film director, is considered to be one of the legendary film directors of all time. Satyajit Roy made a children's movie, funny movie. It was the story about a person who was singing in such a way that the whole village was disturbed. Because sometimes, you know, people, they don't sing, they scream. So the king actually called him. And so he asked, what is the third note? What is the third note? He said, ga. A third note is sa re ga. And what is the seventh note? Da. So the king told him, you are that. Gadha means a donkey. And the donkey is bray. So the king banished him because he was causing so much disturbance that he was banished. Then, and he had also along with him a tabla player. So both of them are banished. So, anyway, since I started, let me just give the whole idea. So, at night, they're just sleeping at one place. They have been banished from the village. So, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, they woke up and they found that a big assembly of going on, the assembly of ghosts. The ghost king is having an assembly. So they just kept on watching. Then they were found. So all the ghosts took them to the ghost king. And so the ghost king asked, what happened? So they told them the story that they have been banished because they have been singing, which was disturbing everybody in the village. So they just got rid of them. So the king of the ghosts said, okay, I'm giving you the benediction that you will sing like a Gandharva. And so then they became very good singers. And wherever they would go, they would just sing, and they got such recognition. Anyway, that was the theme of the story. I don't know whether, it was a long time back, I don't know whether you have seen that story, movie. It's called Gopi Gain Bagha Bain. Does anybody remember from Bengal? Okay. So, anyway, maybe those sing like that, those who sing like that, someday they may be blessed not by the king of the ghosts, but maybe the king of the kings, Krishna, and they'll sing so beautifully that they'll go all over the world enchanting everyone. Yes, in Krishna consciousness, everything can happen by Krishna's mercy. There are so many such wonderful incidents. Like we know the story of the Falwali, the fruit vendor, the lady selling the fruits, and she offered the fruits to Krishna. And how she was rewarded? Her whole basket became filled with most precious gems and jewels. And not only that, when she went back to her village, she couldn't find her house, because she found that there was a big palace. And she thought that she came to a wrong place. But then she saw her husband dressed like a king, surrounded by other royal personalities are approaching her. So as a result of Krishna's mercy, Krishna's blessings, this poor Falwali became a queen. So whenever we do something for Krishna, we should depend upon Krishna's mercy. And we should, at the same time, we should remember that whatever we are doing is for Krishna's pleasure. It's for Krishna's pleasure. And therefore what is needed is devotion, love. A simple example. The mother puts the child to sleep and she sings a lullaby. How does the lullaby sound? Does the lullaby sound like donkeys braying? No. Why? Because it's the love. So it's the love that makes the devotion. The love and devotion that makes the music. In the spiritual world, every word is music. Katha ganam. Why? Because it's an expression. Every word is an expression of the devotee's love for Krishna. So that's why it's music. And every movement is dance. Why? Because the heart is so full of joy that their movement becomes dance. So dance is actually an expression of joy of the heart. And music is the expression of the love of the heart. So when we sing, we should not sing to get name and fame. When we sing, we should sing just for Krishna's pleasure and Krishna's devotee's pleasure. That also reminds me, one of our godbrothers, he was quite American, godbrothers, those days. I think in those days most of the devotees were Americans or Europeans. So he was quite a good singer, and everybody appreciated his singing. So one day in Vrindavan, he was singing for Srila Prabhupada. And he was singing so loudly that Prabhupada stopped him. And he said, "You're just sitting in front of me. Why are you shouting like that? Why sing so loudly when you're so near me?" So that means Prabhupada detected that that person was not singing to please Srila Prabhupada. He was singing to just display his talent or his expertise. He was not singing for Prabhupada, he was singing for his own false ego. So we should be actually concerned about when we are singing. It is for Krishna's pleasure that we are singing. And whatever we do actually should be for pleasing Krishna, pleasing Srila Prabhupada, his pure devotee. We have a very important mission to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. It's a very, very important mission. And all of us must consciously participate in that in an effective way. We should not think that, well, the movement is going on, I have taken part, I have been following, I've been practicing, Srila Prabhupada is giving everything, has given everything to make spiritual advancement. So let me just do that. That is actually taking. But just taking is not the complete process. It's taking and giving. Don't you see? Everything has actually a matter of taking, giving and taking, taking and giving. Like the sun takes the water. Sun makes water to evaporate. And then what happens? It goes onto the sky as cloud. And then what happens? The water that the sun has accumulated, it gives out everywhere in the form of rain. Isn't it wonderful there is so much rain here? Parjanya. Parjanya is actually Krishna's mercy. It is because of water that the life came. Life is sustained. If water is not there, life would be possible. So in this way, everything is giving, taking and giving. So, like, we are taking air, giving out, inhaling, exhaling. Therefore, it's important that we consider that while we are taking from ISKCON, we should also give to ISKCON. In the GBC at one point, some GBC members actually made it a push, made a presentation, that every member of ISKCON should give 10% of his income. It's not very much, actually. Even a person not earning so much, he can contribute 10%. Because by being a devotee, we actually save so much money. If you consider that, that after becoming a devotee, didn't your expenses reduce? You stop going to movies, you stop going to restaurants, you stop going to all kinds of frivolous activities. How much money you are saving by doing that? Many of you were meat eaters and fish eaters. You stop buying meat and fish. How much money you are saving? In this way you are saving so much money, so giving 10% is not a big thing. In Germany it's a national law. It's a country's law that the 10% of the income would go to religious activities. Some other organizations, like for example Microsoft, has a policy that if one of their employees donate the amount that they will donate, Microsoft will match the same amount. If a Microsoft employee donates, say, $1,000 to ISKCON, then Microsoft will give $1,000 to ISKCON. So this is how we can see that some of the people, some of these people are so generous. Tata, the Tata company, they have a policy that whatever they get, a part of the profit, a good part of the profit, 40% or 50% of the profit has to go back to the people. Their thing is that we are getting the money from the people, we must give it to the people. Very generous, and this was started by Jamsetji Tata about 100 years back. See how generous it was of him. And so this is how a thoughtful person considers. When I'm taking, I must give. The understanding of paying tax is like that. I'm taking from the state, therefore I must give to the state in the form of tax. We're getting so many facilities from the state. Whichever country we are in, we're getting so many benefits, so we must give it back. And as I told this morning, the best way, what is the best kind of giving? Give yourself. Give yourself. Prabhupada told me to do that. And you know what? Along with that comes a simple consideration. And the simple consideration is, Prabhupada told me, don't get involved with any woman. The women don't get shocked, please, and I don't want to offend you. Don't get involved with any woman. Why did Prabhupada say that? Because once you get women, once you get into household life, you know, good part of your energy is gone. You can't give 100% of yourself to the movement. Good part of your time is gone. And with the time, it keeps on increasing. You get married, and then number of children will come, grandchildren will come. Today only I was talking to somebody. I was just a disciple of mine in Australia. He's from England. he's in Australia. So I was telling him to get involved. Now you're more than 50 years old and you're so competent, you're so capable. Just get back to Krishna conscious mainstream activities. And his problem was his wife. I said, fine, now how old are your children? Oh, my youngest daughter is 19 years old. Okay, so she can take care of herself. So it's just your wife. So together, no, she doesn't want to leave Australia. Okay, fine, then make some arrangement for her. Oh, my daughter is still 19, she is not able to stand on her own feet, and I have some grandchildren. I said, that's it. Wife, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, it'll keep on increasing. Therefore, at some point you have to say no. And you will see that is what will come out in Uddhava Gita. At some point you have to say no. Yes, fine, you got married. Fine. Not that everybody will be a brahmachari. It's fine. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur started an organization and assembly called the August Assembly. And the objective of them was to remain lifelong celibate, lifelong brahmachari. Many joined. They all were young at that time. Many joined in that assembly. But the only one who continued, there is only one who continued, and that was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That's the reality. Not many will be able to follow that that most wonderful path to follow. Yes, the life, the spiritual life of a brahmachari is the most wonderful life. But Maya's allurement is strong, fine. They have to get married. So many of them have to get married. So, fine, get married. But then don't remain a lifelong married man. Don't remain in household life for your entire life. At some point you say, I had enough of it. I had enough of it. And then get back to the mainstream. So this is how we actually have to mold our lives. And nowadays, many women are so capable. Not only they can take care of themselves and their whole family, they can take care of. Another thing that is a very common phenomenon nowadays, so many marriages are breaking off. They get married, they're thinking that you are my life and soul. I can't live without you. Then after some time, that relationship just becomes so bitter that they leave each other. They break the marriage. So learn your lesson from that. Okay, I got married, I had enough of it, let me now get back to it. But it doesn't happen. They find another partner. Continues like that. And it happens, I also must admit, that in Krishna, in ISKCON, we don't openly discuss about this topic. And as a result of that, devotees don't really get to understand what they have to be told. And I'm noticing, I'm telling some of my disciples, and they're understanding. And they're resolving, no, we don't want to get married. And quite a few of them have become determined. I am seeing. They are getting pressure from their families, get married, but they don't want to get married. Why? I will say that it is because I am telling them. If I didn't tell them, they would never thought of it. They would have said, okay, fine, that is the way to go. So that is the thing, you see, the arrangement is like that, like you either go in the body's direction or you go to the soul's direction. That is what spiritual life is. So anyway, not that everybody will be able to give himself to Krishna, but try to give whatever you can give. Next thing that you can give is your money. Okay, you are in a household situation, you are earning money. Give a part of your money to Krishna. Don't be miserly. Because after all, what's the use of that money? Most of the time, most of your money is sitting in the bank. You are not using it. You are thinking, oh, the money is in the bank, it's my safety, it's my security. What can be a better security than Krishna's lotus feet? What can be a better security than ISKCON society? Prabhupada used to say, anybody can come, our door is open for anyone to come and join us. And in Mayapur, actually, many, many village Indians have come, many, many devotees from villages came with their family. And Prabhupada sheltered them. So it's not that our temples are only for, or our arrangements are only for brahmacharis. No, it's even householders can have shelter here. And life has become expensive nowadays, but still ISKCON is able to provide that shelter. And what do we need actually for shelter? We need house to live, a place to live, and food to eat. And the temple has enough prasad, and especially in India, I'll say especially in arrangements, situations like Ujjain, Mayapur, Vrindavan, the things, that the setups that are away from the cities, they are quite capable of giving shelter to the devotees. Come, join the movement, you know, even if you're a householder, retire, come to ISKCON, take shelter. And many of you have enough money in the bank so that your life will be taken care of if you retire. When your children grow up, just retire. Like it's happening, in here we have so many devotees have retired in that way, elderly individuals, they are sheltered in ISKCON here. Some of them came without any money and some of them came with their money. Doesn't matter, we are not looking at your bank balance. We simply want to see that you are properly situated in your spiritual life and rendering service. So many such examples. And I think we are able to take care of them quite nicely. For that matter, the persons that come to my mind, one is Raghav Pandit. He is the first person that joined us in Ujjain when we came. He quit his job and became and joined us. And it is his daughter, Radha Peyari, who actually got the PhD the other day. And not only she got the PhD, she got the PhD from Jawaharlal Nehru University, one of the most prestigious universities in India. And she got her PhD thing to me. that her PhD dissertation. Dissertation, you call it, or thesis, whatever. Another person is Mukunda. Moved in. His family is there. His wife is in Calcutta, well taken care of, well situated. In there, he has his house and things. But he moved in here and he is rendering service. And recently, Bandita Radhika moved in. She was in America, she came back to India. She was in Nasik. She wrote to me that she wanted to move to Ujjain. I said, fine. But she had a big apartment in Nasik. Very big apartment. She got rid of that apartment, moved in here. But when she came here, she told me that the apartment that you gave me is even bigger than that one. So that's why you built these apartments here. These are all luxury apartments. Like three bedrooms, 2,200 square foot. Generally, three bedroom apartments that you buy is 12 to 1,500 square foot. And our apartments are 2,200 square foot apartments. Double the size of normal apartments. When they're building these apartments, like one of the engineers, Nanda Braja, who was there supervising, he said, when they started to do the laying, the foundation and then scaffoldings and concrete, he wrote to me, Guru Maharaj, each apartment is actually a football field, as big as a football field. So, yes, but I must say that Bandita's apartment was actually bigger than that, the one she had in Nasik. She had actually two apartments put together, and each apartment I think was about 1400 square foot, so she had 2200 square foot apartment, whereas our apartment is 2200 square foot. So, in that note, do you know when John F. Kennedy became the President of United States of America, during his first speech, what he said? Don't ask what America is going to give to you. Consider what you are going to give to America. Very nice statement. That's what should be our attitude. Not just take, but give. Yes, naturally we are getting things and we are getting the facilities. But in return, let us offer, and then only ISKCON will become strong. I tell you, in today, for any organization, two most important things are actually men and money. Any organization needs men and money. Similarly, ISKCON also needs men and money. But it's a spiritual organization, like we don't really have any source of income. Therefore, we have to depend upon you all. So you all consider what you can give. You are giving something, but try to seriously consider how much you can give. As I said, whether it's yourself, or by giving your money, or giving your service, that is men. Offer your service if you can't give your money. Offer your service. So this is how this movement is going to spread. But if you think that, well, I have taken initiation, I joined ISKCON, And I am happy, like I found spiritual life, I'm practicing it properly. And let ISKCON run the way it is running. No, you have some responsibility towards ISKCON also. It is not that the ISKCON full-time members have the responsibility. It's not only the managers of ISKCON has the responsibility. It's not only that the GBCs and other leaders, sannyasis, have the responsibility to carry ISKCON forward. Every one of you have the responsibility to assist in propagation of this mission. So, thank you very much. Was I very heavy? Did I become too personal? Probing into your personal life? No, I am saying it for your benefit. Always remember, Krishna is watching you, and that's what I am reminding you. Krishna is watching you. So act in such a way that Krishna will be pleased with you. In that respect, Prabhupada once said that Krishna doesn't see how much you gave. Krishna sees how much you kept for yourself. That is, Krishna is antarjami. Krishna is omnipotent, omniscient. So Krishna knows everything. So Krishna knows what's your attitude, how much you're giving to Krishna and how much you're keeping for yourself. In that way, there was a very nice example that has been cited by Lakshmi Narayan from Bangladesh. He was a bank manager there in a bank, important position, and he practically gave all his money to ISKCON. So much so that he doesn't even have a car. He gave crores of rupees to ISKCON. Practically all his savings. He, I think, gave about almost 8 to 10 crores to ISKCON. He used to live a very luxurious life before. But now he sacrificed everything. He doesn't, in Dhaka, one devotee was telling me that he doesn't have a car. And one day he saw that he's standing in the bus stand waiting for a bus. So these are the examples of sacrifice. We don't have to look for the examples only in the big devotees of our movement. We can see there are so many individuals in different corners who are making such wonderful sacrifices. At the back of my mind, I was making the calculation. I was thinking, realizing, not 10,000, 8 or 10,000. He actually sacrificed, he has given more than 10 crores to ISKCON projects. Anyway, so just consider what will please Krishna. And since you approached me to guide you in your spiritual life, I have to tell things in a frank and open way. Because my business is to take you to Krishna. No, I will say my business is to take you to Srila Prabhupada. Situate you so nicely in ISKCON, that will tantamount to offering you to Srila, bringing you to Srila Prabhupada. And it's guaranteed that Prabhupada will take you to Krishna. If I can successfully take you to Srila Prabhupada, you can rest assured that it's guaranteed that you'll go back to Godhead. So, help this movement to the best of your ability. so that this movement can spread effectively all over the world. It is happening. But it must happen even in a greater speed and in a greater dimension. Hare Krishna. So, thank you all very much. And so, we considered 24 gurus of Abadhut. So from that, what do we learn? That there is always something to learn from somebody. And we should be open to that. And those who are from whom I am learning, I should humbly accept that as a guru. So, let us be open in that way. Once somebody wanted to become a guru, he was really striving to become a guru, but it was not going through because he was not getting the approval. And one of my godbrothers, actually, I was there, he told him, why are you so eager to become a guru? You can become a guru. You don't need any stamp from ISKCON. So many people are there. Just go and preach to them and become a guru. That is a guru. It's not that to be a guru means the opportunity to have a big position in ISKCON, have a big singhasan asan to sit on, big guru dakshin, big following, big puja, big worship, big aggrandizement. No, don't become a guru for that. Become a guru to fulfill your mission of imparting Krishna consciousness to others. And then he told that even if you don't find anybody, preach to these ants. You can preach to the ants. Oh, ant bhai, become Krishna conscious. I know you cannot chant Hare Krishna, but I'll chant for you. You listen with all attention. It'll work. So become a guru. It's not difficult. Our business is to become gurus. The purpose of giving these seminars, giving these classes, is to make you into gurus. You're not supposed to remain a disciple for life. Of course, you remain a disciple for life. To your guru, you simply remain a disciple. But as your obligation to your guru, who gave you Krishna consciousness, you repay him by giving that to others. That is the responsibility that you have. Go and preach to others. And yes, many of you have taken up very seriously that responsibility. I know Sachi Mata here. Every day she goes out to preach. And it's not easy to go and preach in London, door to door. So many times people have insulted her, abused her, shut the door right in front of her face just by seeing her. But she was undeterred. She is carrying on preaching. Every day she goes out to preach. Another wonderful example is Sharada. She works. She's a research person. She's a PhD. She's a scientist holding a big position in an institution. But every day during her lunch break, she goes out not to take lunch, but to distribute Prabhupada's books. And mind you, this working lady in London is the second biggest book distributor in London. And sometimes she becomes a top book distributor. So yes, this is the sign of commitment. And these are the examples that we need to follow. Whatever I can, let me do it for Krishna. And you can rest assured when Krishna sees that, Krishna will be so pleased. Yes, out of millions and billions of people, these are the individuals who are my agents. They are carrying my message. They are trying to deliver all those living entities who have forgotten me, and they are trying to bring them back to me. Can you imagine how pleased Krishna will be? So please take to Krishna consciousness very, very seriously. Actually, when I speak of sacrifices, there are so many of you. Since another devotee's thought came to my mind is Radha Vinod. You know what was his first attitude? He was deadly against ISKCON. His wife, Champaklata, used to quietly come and meet me so that he doesn't get to know that she came to meet me. Sometimes she would come with her mother in the airport just to meet me because... But today, Radha Vinod, by Champaklata's mercy, has become a completely committed devotee. Like you all have seen him, so committed. Like now he's like a pillar in Bhaktivedanta manner. He brought so many devotees from London to this program, and he'll take them to South India for a pilgrimage. And not only that, at some point he just came to Ujjain. And he was leading, he was the president actually of the temple. And all the time his concern was how to help. Oh Guru Maharaj, you need this. Don't worry Maharaj, I'll make arrangements. When I think of his contributions, we didn't have gates in the temple. I didn't even have to tell anything to Radha Vinod. On his own, he went, collected donations, and you saw the three gates that we have. No, four gates actually. Such beautiful gates. The gates were made, but then on the wall there was a railing. I told him, Radha Vinod, the walls are looking bare. It's not matching. He said, Guru Maharaj, okay, no problem. They also came up, all the same kind of design. In the wrought iron grills. So these are the devotees who give so much joy to us due to their commitment to Krishna consciousness. And as the spiritual master, I feel happy that at least I have been able to inspire some of them to commit in such a wonderful way to Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada will be so pleased with them. When I take them to Srila Prabhupada and tell Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I brought them to you as my offering to you. I know Prabhupada will be so pleased. When I got initiated, I was serving Srila Prabhupada. I was with Srila Prabhupada all the time, morning till night. And I didn't have the time to collect Guru Dakshin. Because of I got the initiation, I just went out, took initiation, came back to Srila Prabhupada. And the whole day I was with Srila. That's how my service was those days. And then in the evening I saw devotees are coming and offering Guru Dakshina. And I felt so bad, Prabhupada. Then when everyone left, I told Prabhupada, I'm so sorry, I couldn't bring any Guru Dakshina for you. I couldn't go out and collect Guru Dakshina. Then Prabhupada said, you have offered yourself. That is the best Guru Dakshina. And I offered my obeisances and told Srila Prabhupada then silently, I am yours, Srila Prabhupada. My whole life is given to you. And today I have the opportunity to take all of you to Srila Prabhupada and offer you all as my Guru Dakshina to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is a very, very special devotee who came to fulfill the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Krishna consciousness movement will spread all over the world in every town and village. Srila Prabhupada was sent to this world to fulfill that mission. And as Srila Prabhupada's loyal followers, we have to complete that mission. Prabhupada started that mission, established and made all kinds of wonderful arrangements to continue that mission. And now we have to assist Srila Prabhupada to complete that mission, that is spreading it all over the world in every town and village. So we go to the now to go to the next chapter. That is the nature of fruitive activity. What is the fruitive activity? I'll first give the synopsis of this chapter and then I'll get into the chapter. Fruitive activity, fruit means what? Fruit means fruit. Fruit is the ultimate result of the tree. You plant a tree, why? To get the fruits. You act. Why do you act? To get the benefit from that action. And that way, to every single action has a resultant reaction. Every single action has a resultant reaction. That is called karmic reaction. The Sanskrit word is actually, this is a literal translation of the Sanskrit, karma, fall, fruitive activity. We act and we desire the fruits, then we become responsible to that reaction. But when we offer the results to Krishna, then the fruits of our actions become successful, meaningful. Yes, we need to act. Everybody has to act. Without acting, we cannot stay even for a moment. Nahi kaschit kshanam opi jatu tishtati akarmakrit. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, without acting, nahi kshanam opi. Kshanam means, kshan means a moment. One cannot stay without acting even for a moment. Nahi kaschit kshanam opi jatu tishtati akarmakrit. So we have to act, and as we act, there is results. And we become susceptible to the result. The last example that we had Of course, in sequence, the last two actually came, which were actually not the last ones. But because I forgot to mention them, that's why I was reminded by two very learned devotees here. So, it's good. I'm happy to see that while you are attending the class, you are reading also, coming prepared to the class. But the last one is actually the insect that took the shape of the big insect that has attacked it. Meditating on that insect, the small insect became the big insect. So the example there is that in a similar way, due to our actions and its reaction, we are creating our next body. Our next body will be the result of our actions of this body. The way we are acting in this body, we will get the next body. So, that is how the karma binds us. We act, and as a result of that, we become entangled in the cycle of birth and death. Keep on coming and going, keep on coming and going. But we can counteract that process of birth and death by offering the actions to Krishna. In simple words, we can say, you planted a tree in your yard, in your garden. You planted a very nice mango tree. And in course of time, the tree became full of mangoes. Now you have two options. You can eat the mangoes yourself. If you do that, then you will become liable to whatever has happened to grow that mango. That is how you get compound and karmic reaction. The other thing you can do is pick all the mangoes and offer to Krishna. Then not only you'll become free from that reaction, but you also will become free from other reactions. So that's how wonderful Krishna consciousness is, and that's how Krishna consciousness frees us from the bondage of karmic reactions. So in that respect, Krishna is telling, who is a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is a person who has taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Isn't that the definition of Vaishnava? Why are we Vaishnava? How do we say that we are Vaishnavas? How do we claim that we are Vaishnavas? Just because we are wearing tilak and kantimala? No. The actual identification of our Vaishnavism is that we have taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Tomar charon korinu boron amar nahito ami. I have taken shelter of your lotus feet, and now I am not mine anymore. I am yours. So that is the meaning of becoming a Vaishnava, offering ourselves to Krishna. Krishna, I am yours. That is the meaning of surrender. And it is through the surrender that our spiritual life actually begins. And as we surrender unto Krishna, then what happens? After we surrender unto Krishna, our life continues to be the way it used to be. No, when we surrender, then we start to act according to the instructions of the scriptures. Bidhi, rules and regulations of the scriptures. Especially Vaishnava scriptures like Pancharatra, Narad Pancharatra. What to do, how to lead the life of a devotee. As Prabhupada given, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, attend the temple activities, attend the temple programs, take only Krishna prasad, associate with devotees. And these are, to be a Vaishnava means, and also mark your body with Vaishnava tilaks, wear kanti mala, shaved head with tilak. Now also as another thing I notice, like actually, it's because, you see, we are not discussing about these things. There's so much deviations are creeping into our movement. I see many devotees don't have shikha. And you know, not to have shikha is one of the worst offense. In early days in ISKCON, of course I didn't see, but I heard, if somebody was thrown out of ISKCON, his shikha was shaved up. So those who are not members of ISKCON, their shikhas was taken off. Those who are banished from ISKCON, their shikhas were taken off. So please make it a point that if you want to identify yourself as a Vaishnava, keep your shikha. Not to have a shikha means Mayavadi. And you know what is the identity of a Mayavadi? Mayavadi is the worst offender to Krishna. Mayavadi Krishne Aparadhi. Mayavadi is the worst offender to Krishna. So do you want to become a devotee of Krishna or you want to become an enemy of Krishna? Mayavadi means an enemy of Krishna. Not only the atheists and demons are inimical to Krishna, even the Mayavadis are actually enemies of Krishna. So following the practice, keep your kanti mala. Don't feel embarrassed to wear kanti mala. Don't feel embarrassed to shave your head. Don't feel embarrassed to keep your shikha. Stand up and make a point. I am a Vaishnava. I am proud of my Vaishnava identity. If I am proud of my Vaishnava identity, I will follow the codes of conduct of the Vaishnava. If you are proud of being a soldier, then don't you feel proud wearing the uniform of a soldier? Similarly, when you become a soldier in Krishna's army, this is the uniform you wear. So don't feel embarrassed to reveal your identity. Then Krishna is making the point that knowledge acquired by material senses is of no use. Because eventually we have to give it up. No use means eventually we have to discard it. Eventually means at the time of death, at least. No matter whatever knowledge you have acquired, the so-called knowledge received through our one's material senses, mind and intelligence is as useless as the dreams experienced by the sleeping person. In a dream, if you think that you have become a king, does it have any meaning? When you wake up, what happens? No meaning. So eventually, the point is, that whatever knowledge you acquire, whatever title you acquire through this material body is not at all useful, because they are not going to be effective in your Krishna consciousness. Unless, of course, you use it in Krishna's service. Many of you are very qualified people. Many of you are engineers, many of you are doctors, chartered accountants, PhDs. Try to use them in Krishna's service. But, you know, you'll see that ultimately, otherwise it doesn't have any meaning. What to speak of engaging in Krishna's service? Materially, what we acquire nowadays, all the knowledge, doesn't really come to any use at all. Like, I've seen so many engineers. IIT graduates, cream of Indian society, did mechanical engineering. But when it came to job, he didn't go into the mechanical field. He went to the IT field. Mechanical engineer became an IT engineer, IT software specialist, IT programmer. Whatever he learned for 6 years or 7 years as a mechanical engineer didn't come to any use at all. And that is what is happening. All this education we are seeing is useless education. The only thing is that it gives us a degree that we can get a job. And the intelligent ones I am seeing, they are not pursuing the career. They just want to give up their so-called career, become a full-time devotee. And I haven't seen, they don't lament by doing that. So many of you are here, did that. Thank you. Therefore, one should give up work performed for sense gratification and accept those responsibilities as a matter of duty. Matter of duty. When one has come to understand something of the truth of the self, he should give up material work performed out of duty and simply engage himself in the service of the bona fide spiritual master. Here I'm mentioning bona fide spiritual master because spiritual life actually begins with acceptance of a spiritual master and acting according to his guidance. We can't just take initiation from a spiritual master and don't take any guidance from him. So, of course, in that respect, I also make it very clear that you may have taken initiation from me, but if I am not able to give you personal guidance, don't worry about it. Follow Srila Prabhupada's guidance. Because Prabhupada is the spiritual master. He is the Acharya of ISKCON. He is the Acharya of his, the guru of all the devotees of ISKCON for all time. And whatever is happening in ISKCON is due to his divine arrangement and due to his divine instructions. So, remain in ISKCON, render your service. So that is the important consideration. Engage yourself in the service of your spiritual master. Engage yourself in the service of Srila Prabhupada. who is the manifest representative of the personality of Godhead. The Guru is the manifest representative of Krishna. We cannot see Krishna, therefore Krishna becomes manifest in the form of a spiritual master. And surrender unto him, take his guidance and mold your life according to his teachings. The servant of the spiritual master should have very firm affection for his guru, should be anxious to receive from him knowledge of the absolute truth. So that is the business of a disciple. Eager to receive the knowledge, spiritual knowledge, knowledge about the absolute truth. And again it is coming back. Krishna now telling again, the gross body is totally distinct, separate from the soul. This material body, soul, is distinct from the gross and subtle bodies. Soul is not a product of the subtle body or matter, a gross or subtle body. The soul is completely separate, but it has been trapped into this body. That is our situation. We have become entrapped, imprisoned within this body. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a very beautiful line for that. The flesh is not our own, alas. The mortal frame a chain, the soul confined for former wrongs will try to rise again. What a beautiful instruction. The flesh, the body is made of flesh and bones. The flesh is not our own. This flesh doesn't belong to me. This body doesn't belong to me. The flesh is not our own, alas. This mortal frame, this body, the frame, the mortal frame is a chain with which the soul has been imprisoned. The soul, the flesh is not our own, alas. The mortal frame a chain, the soul confined for former wrongs. Due to our past wrong actions, we have become imprisoned in this soul, in this body. The me, the soul, has become imprisoned in this body. The soul confined for former wrongs will try to rise again. That means the soul will try or should try to become free from the bondage of this body. That is why we all are here. To free the soul from the confinement of this body, bodies made of matter. Gross matter and subtle matter. I'll read this instruction again from Krishna. The soul is distinct from the gross and subtle material bodies. The spirit soul who has entered into the material body accepts bodily functions according to the reaction of his past activities. Now, mind you, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's statement, soul confined for former wrongs. For former means previous. Wrongs means wrong actions. That is why we have become confined into this material body, soul confined. And here also Krishna is saying, the spirit soul who has entered into the material body accepts bodily functions according to the reactions of his past activities. And what does the spiritual master do? The spiritual master reminds us about that. That due to your past wrong activities, you are entrapped in this body and thus entrapped or entangled or imprisoned in this material nature. A very very wonderful example in that respect. Like, we make a small little mistake to turn away from Krishna. That is the preliminary mistake we made. Just turned away from Krishna. The way our face is, that is what we see. Therefore, there are two expressions. Unmukh, face towards. And bimukh, face away. Mukh means face. Unmukh means towards, the face towards. And bimukh means face away. So Krishna bimukh or Krishna bahirmukh hoya. Just that was the mistake, that we just somehow or other faced away from Krishna. And immediately Maya grabs us. Nikatastha Maya tare japutiya dhari. Traps us. How? There is only two ways. Krishna's internal energy or Krishna's external energy. Away from Krishna means Krishna's external energy. And as soon as we look away from Krishna, Krishna's external energy grabs us. How? The first entanglement or imprisonment, captivity. His false ego. We look at the material nature, Krishna's external energy. Oh, this whole creation is for my enjoyment. That is what false ego is dictating us. This whole world is for your enjoyment. Because we are superior and this material nature is inferior. And it is a natural tendency of the superior to dominate over the inferior. We got the false ego. Now we are thinking that we are the enjoyers. This whole world is meant for my enjoyment. So as a result of that, what is happening? Our actual identity, that I am Krishna Das, I am a servant of Krishna, is being lost, and I am identifying myself as the enjoyer. Instead of becoming a servant, I am considering myself to be the enjoyer, master. Then we get the next covering. Intelligence. This world is for my to enjoy, for me to enjoy. And intelligence is telling, yes, you're going to enjoy this way, you're going to enjoy this way, you're going to enjoy this way. Intelligence is covering. Then the consciousness is flowing towards the material direction constantly through the mind. In this way, we become entangled with these three subtle elements. false ego, intelligence and mind. And then accordingly, material nature gives us a body. As I said earlier, according to our subtle body, material nature gives us the gross body. And now we are entangled in these two bodies. Now the spiritual master reminds us, get rid of this bondage. Become free from the bondage of matter. And rise into the spiritual sky, spiritual domain. So, in this way we are learning one important lesson. It's actually coming from Krishna. Krishna is saying, Krishna is telling Uddhav. Actually through Uddhav, Krishna is telling us. Remember, what is the background? Krishna told Uddhav to take sannyas. To take sannyas means to become free from the bondage of matter. And all these instructions are actually meant for freeing Uddhav from the bondage of material nature. Uddhav asked Krishna, yes, you asked me to become, accept sannyas. So please give me that knowledge that I can become properly situated in the renounced order of life. I can become detached in a proper way. Therefore, Krishna is making this point. As long as one is entangled in the material world, in the material nature, trying to enjoy the fruits of his activities, there is no way he can become spiritually situated. So, another wonderful example in that respect. One night, the bridegroom's party, Borjatri, is going to attend the wedding. They are going to travel at night through boat. In Bengal, there are many rivers and the transport often used to be through the boat. So, the wedding is the next morning, so they started at night in a boat. Boarding the boat, they fell asleep. But in the morning, when they woke up, they found that the boat didn't move. The boat is in the same old place. They thought that in the morning they would be in the bride's house, but because they are... So they started to chastise the boatman. You rascal, you have been also sleeping the whole night. You didn't row the boat. The boatman said, no. I rowed the boat the whole night. I don't know what happened. Then they found the boatman forgot to pull the anchor. The anchor actually keeps the boat at one place. So now if you want the boat to move, you have to pull the anchor. So if you want to make advancement in spiritual life, can you possibly keep your anchor into this world? Or you have to pull the anchor in order to move forward. And the anchor is our attachment in this world. So to move forward in a spiritual life, you have to pull the anchor. Free yourself from all the attachments. After all, people are interested or attracted to the enjoyment of this world. But what are those enjoyments? Those enjoyments are illusory. They are not real. And the highest form of enjoyment is going to the heaven and enjoy like a demigod. Enjoyment there, soma ras to drink, like drink in this material world, in this planet, earth planet, it's actually poison. By drinking that, one actually loses his consciousness, loses his energy, loses his sanity. But somaras is actually kind of nectar. By drinking somaras, you don't lose yourself, but you gain yourself. You don't become tired, but you become rejuvenated. That is the thing of somaras. And you have a body so full of energy, drinking somaras, that you can enjoy unlimited enjoyment with the most beautiful women there, the apsaras. The apsaras are so beautiful that once you see an apsara, you won't even look like looking at the most beautiful woman in this world. Oh, what a... That's how beautiful the apsaras are. And they're expert. They're expert in dancing. They're expert in singing. They're expert in giving enjoyment, of all kinds of enjoyment. So that is the heavenly enjoyment. That's why one wants to go to heaven. But that situation in heaven, is it long-lasting? Is it eternal? No, it's temporary. In Ramayana, there is a nice incident about that. A sage who was performing great austerities, a chariot came from the heaven to take him to heaven. So he asked, the chariot driver told, Indra sent you this chariot and wanted you to go to heaven. So he said, what is there in heaven? Oh, there is so much enjoyment. There is so much enjoyment. You can't imagine. Like you will have the most wonderful palatial building to live, with the most beautiful garden, with all kinds of flowers and fruits in them, Nandan Kanan. And then there are apsaras. They'll offer you somaras to drink. And then when you are excited, they will give you the company to enjoy with them. And then he asked, so for how long it'll last? It'll last only as long as you have your pious activities, punya. When your pious activity, as long as your pious activities are there, you have acquired a lot of pious activities, by the way. And that's why you have become qualified to go to heaven. But as you enjoy there, you'll be losing your pious activities. And then when your pious activities will be finished, then you have to come down here again. So the sage naturally was very intelligent. So he said, if I have to come back here again, then why go there? What's the use of going there if I have to again come back here? Now, is there any place where there is permanent enjoyment? So they said, yes, we heard that there is one place. Where is that? Where is that? That place is beyond this material nature, beyond the Viraja River, causal ocean, beyond Brahma Jyoti, and there are planets where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present. So if you can go there, then you don't have to come back. Jad gatvana nivartante tad dhamo paramam. So he said, well, then better to go there. Well, you haven't qualified to go there. Why not? Because with your piety you cannot go there. Is there any way I can go there? Yes. The way to go there is by practicing devotional service to Krishna. What is devotional service? With all the love of your heart, you do things for Him, you speak about Him, you sing about Him. That is devotional service. So then, the sage understood the importance of devotional service, and eventually, he went back to Vaikuntha. So is the point clear? Materialistic enjoyment, even up to the extent of going to the heaven, is only phantasmagoria. Is pie in the sky. The Bengali expression or Sanskrit expression is akash kushum. A flower in the sky. Same, pie in the sky or flower in the sky. Can there be a real flower in the sky? Can there be pie in the sky? No. It's just an imagination. So don't run after that. Don't aspire for material enjoyment. Oh, I'll go to America. In America there is so much enjoyment. I'll go to Las Vegas, I'll go to Hollywood, I will go to Universal Studio, and I'll go to such and such nightclub. What's the use? Yeah, go to America to preach, not for any other reason. And I'm making arrangements for you all to come to America. And devotees are responding. Here is Mukunda Murari. He was an engineer. Been very, very successful. And now he retired. And now he is going to D-Land, America, with his wife to assist me there. But beforehand, his daughter already went there. His daughter is an architect, and she did the architectural plans for D-Land. Her name is Neha, very nice girl. She and her husband, both are architects. They have their farm in Dehradun, architectural company. So she stayed there. And then she went there as an architect, but she became involved in all kinds of spiritual activities. Making garland, cooking for devotees. She's an excellent cook because of her mother's blessings. When she would cook, she would be in touch with her mother in the long-distance phone call, asking her how to cook this and that. So, yes, it'll be exciting to come there and be engaged in preaching there. It's a wonderful preaching field, America. And the world has actually become very open to Krishna consciousness today. So, what lesson did you learn from this chapter? Should you aspire for material enjoyment all the way up to going to heaven? Or should you become, offer the fruits of your activities to your wife and children, or husband and children, or to Krishna? Everyone is silent. Is it taking so long to think about it? Yes. Offer all your abilities and talents in serving Krishna. So, actually I just noticed it's already 6:43, so I'm supposed to end the class at 7, but I thought that since Thea is going to sing, I'll end now.